brought to you by Penguin.
One Little Mistake by Emma Curtis. Read by Penelope Rawlins.
Prologue. Josh's door opens soundlessly. 6 months ago, I removed it from its hinges and planed a centimetre off the bottom to stop it rasping against the carpet. And I mean I. I'm very good at that sort of thing. A DIY expert. The room smells of my son. Of talcum powder and baby shampoo. It's warm and dark and seems to breathe with him. The blinds are blackout ones, and the curtains interlined so that no light peeps through, and it takes my eyes a moment to adjust. He's clutching the paw of his panda, profoundly and sweatily asleep. I stoop to pick him up, but as soon as I touch him, he kicks a foot out and purses his lips. I step back into the shadows. If he wakes now, there will be fallout. And I'm too tired and emotionally blindsided to deal with it. Instead, I go to the window, lift one corner of the blind, and watch the raindrops hit the cars and scatter in rivulets across the roofs. The gutters are barely able to cope with the sheer volume of water, and puddles are forming around them. The tight feeling in my chest won't go away. Or the sense of urgency that almost certainly diminishes my ability to make good choices. Behind me, Josh's breathing settles back into deep sleep mode. I check my watch, then turn around and walk out, closing the door behind me and hurrying downstairs. Josh never wakes during his morning nap. Never ever. He makes up for his bad nights by sleeping soundly for an hour and a half, so I'm safe for a good while yet. And I'm only going to be 20 minutes. I put on my coat, grab my umbrella, and step out into the rain. Chapter 1. One day earlier. Sunday, the 3rd of January, 2010. An image, sharply focused and painfully ridiculous, gate crashes my mind as I pull onto our forecourt. It's me, in my underwear, and a naked man with a middle-aged body and a naughty boy smile. I'm grabbing my clothes and pulling them back on, getting tangled in the sleeves, apologies and excuses tumbling from my mouth as his initial amusement turns to bewilderment and consternation. I open my eyes. I'm home now. It's okay. Nothing happened. Our Christmas tree, stripped of its baubles, leans forlornly against the dustbins, and above me, the street lamp throws an eerie glow over the old magnolia tree. It's coming into bud. I remember when we first viewed this house, I was enchanted by the ivory-streaked blush-pink petals. In the front window, the light from the television flickers across the faces of my family. The four of them are snuggled up on the big red sofa. My husband, Tom, lounging back, a daughter tucked under each arm. Josh, flat out asleep on his father's chest, his fingers curled round the collar of Tom's shirt, his legs splayed. He looks like a frog. What in God's name was I thinking? I grip the steering wheel, close my eyes and swear. When I look up again, Polly has climbed onto the back of the sofa behind Tom and has her arms around his neck. Tom finally registers that I'm here. He deposits her on top of her big sister and jumps up to open the door, Josh in his arms. This is my husband, Tom Seagrave, a funny, occasionally annoying, warm and sociable man. And he loves me. So why? I blow my nose vigorously. Emily and Polly have pressed their faces against the window, their noses squashed upwards.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?